Hey, good evening, everyone. This is your host. Hey, good evening, everyone. This is your host, Chris Richardson himself, tonight on another episode of The Real Talk with Chris Richardson Show. I'm excited tonight that you guys found fit and not to join me tonight. I should say found it fit and not robbery, as they say. Tonight we're in for a special segment, as I say every week, but I'm really delighted and excited that you took the time out of your schedule. So whether you're listening live, whether you're listening on, you dialed in, or if you're listening to a podcast, welcome to the show. As many of you all know, this show is about helping people live better, love deeper, and laugh more. So when you are better, we are better. That's right. At the end of the day, you're better fathers, better husbands, better mothers, better daughters, better to one another, because it begins with you and it ends with you. So if you don't change, that's it. Neither will your circumstances. So at the end of the day, we want to really focus on help people heal from the inside out, and that's what we focus on this show. So this is 1 hour of empowerment and enriching for you to be the best that you can be. And so this is just some information that we want to share. Over the past week, we've had some segments on. Last Monday, in fact, we talked about the attitude of anger versus the fit of rage. And that was a show, if you missed it, you want to go back and listen to some powerful pieces of information that was shared in there. Tonight, we've got a special segment that I want to talk about, but I don't want you to miss out on last Wednesday's show. I did a special one-hour segment. It was a segment on how do we restore a community in mourning, and had some great guests on, so encourage you to go and listen to those shows. Listen, tonight's show is all about what's influencing you. That's right, what's influencing you? Is it fear? Is it faith? Or is it just Facebook? Is it fear? Is it faith? Or is it Facebook? Well, we're going to talk about that just in the next minute after we come back here. We're going to play a little bit of music, and as soon as that's done, we'll be back. So join us. Get ready. Call a friend. Tell a neighbor. Join us on our exclusive group, also on our Facebook page. So if you're out there listening online, again, I want to welcome you to the top of the hour. Visit us at The Real Talk with Chris Richardson Show. Join the group page and join us as we do our live chat session. We want to call into the show. The number to do so is 619-924-0869. Again, that's 619-924-0869. So we'll be right back in just a minute.
Your life has been
out of control.
You're confused,
but
don't
again, welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Real Talk with Chris Richardson Show. And I want to welcome you all to the show and thank you for tuning in. If you've never been with us before, well, this show is really about an empowerment, all about helping you live better, love deeper, and laugh more at the end of the day. As I said earlier at the top of the hour, this is a segment that we'll be talking about tonight on what's influencing you. Is it fear? Is it faith? Or is it just Facebook? That's what we want to talk about. Our country as we know it now, we've seen a lot happen in the last week alone. A lot has happened. It's been happening for a while now. So at the end of the day, what are we being influenced by? And that's the discussion we want to have tonight. Well, I'm not alone. So I want you to feel free to join in at any time during this discussion and share your comments, your question, your response to a topic that we're discussing tonight by dialing 619-924-0869. And all you simply have to do is press 1 if you want to talk, and I'll join you in. Now, we got a couple housekeeping rules, real simple, just like this. We can always agree to disagree. We can challenge the message, but we agree never to attack the messenger. That's it. And at the end of the day, we all have an opinion. Doesn't mean that yours is always right. That's it. So let's dive right into that. As I said, we've been faced by a number of travesties over the last week and some change. This has been happening for a while, and I think that our culture is being influenced by a number of different things. Ever since Columbine, if we go back a little ways, ever since Columbine that we saw at first instance that we had with a mass killing in the United States, in this country, in the great U.S. of A., we've seen a number of repeat issues that have happened and acted out on. Sadly, all of them have been with men. So tonight's show, we want to talk about this, and we're going to put this – I'm actually going to speak to this on a broader perspective, not just narrow it down to just, you know, men and women and relationships, but we're going to talk about how your influence affects your overall relationship. So why don't we get right into that tonight, and let's take a dive in there. So, again, thank you for tuning in to the show. Let's talk about this. I said, what's influencing you? Is it fear? Well, what is fear? You know, so when I looked this information up, did a little background research, fear – is something that's a natural emotion. Most of us know that fear is a natural emotion that's triggered by a perceived threat. So if you feel threatened, you ultimately, your body goes to the emotional state of a state of fear. It's one of those basic survival mechanisms that signals to your body you either respond by fight or flight. That's your response to it. It's fight or flight. So as such, it's an essential part of keeping you safe for the most part. So fear is a natural emotion, and it's triggered by a perceived threat. And so, however, people who live in a constant state of fear, as we know it from physical dangers in their environment or threats they perceive, can become incapacitated. So how does it work? This thing called fear. Again, what's influencing you? Is it fear? Is it all the things that we see constantly bombarded on our TV screen? Is it all the things that we read about on our social media posts? Is it all the things that we see on YouTube or our other medium streams or channel? Is it fear? So how does fear work? Well, the enemy uses fear to prepare us to react to a present danger or a threat or a potential danger. So once we sense that potential danger, what happens is your body then releases a stage of hormones, and it starts to shut down functions not needed for survival. So here's the one thing I learned. This was interesting to me. I didn't know that it says that our digestive system is one of those things that it starts to shut down and sharpen functions that might help us survive, such as our eyesight. So when we are in a state of fear, our eye lens, our eye gate becomes heightened, and our digestive tract becomes lessened. Our heart rate increases, our blood flows to the muscles so that we can run faster. You know, if you're afraid of something, you move faster than you do if you're just running. You know, running, doing a little jog. You're going to move with intentionally about things. So our body also increases the flow of hormones to an area of the brain known as the amygdala, and it helps us to focus on what's presenting the danger so that we can see it, and it stores a memory. So how does that affect us in our thinking? So where am I going with all this? Well, I think it's important for us to lay some groundwork. I think that a lot of times we don't understand why we do things. Therefore, what I said last week, if you don't understand your why, your what's going to take you out. And so what we've got to realize is that when we're dealing with fear, the enemy uses fear to distort our view, to discourage us, to try to demoralize us in any way possible to distract us from our focus, our vision, our mission, and our life purpose. that he can use against us. So if you're in a relationship, let's put that in perspective here, that there's a fear if you're dating someone. Let's take it more specific. Let's say you're single and you're dating. Well, the fear is, it could be good fear or bad fear. There could be a healthy fear to that. So what do you mean? Well, here's the thing. If it's a bad fear, you're always worrying about the worst case scenario. Now, some people are going to naturally do that anyway because they have a greater inclination based on their what's called their temperament that immediately, as soon as they feel a certain thing, that their temperament naturally takes them to a state in their mind where they're already analyzing all the little details. However, that's one part about it. So what's the effect on their thinking and overall? So once fear has a pathway and it's ramped up, the brain has it short circuits more rational processing paths, and it reacts immediately to the signals from the amygdala. So when it's in this overall state, the brain perceives events as negative and remembers them that way. So if you're constantly focused on acting in a state of fear, going to the worst case, your brain can't separate the difference between that healthy fear or that unhealthy fear, you know, that it sees. It immediately goes to the place of, okay, fight or flight. And so you have to be careful what you see, what you hear, what you say in that matter, because it all has an effect on your thinking of how you see things. So if you think about the impact like on chronic fear, let's break that down. Living under constant threat weakens our immune system. So it breaks down, fear breaks down the body, ladies and gentlemen. That's what I'm simply saying to you tonight. At the end of the day, if you're living in fear, and we know from a biblical perspective, if you're a Christian, it says God has not given us a spirit of fear, as the scriptures teach us. Well, where is fear referenced in the Bible? Let's go back to the very beginning. And if we do that, I had to go back to the book of Exodus, and we see it before that in Genesis as well, but let's look at Exodus when Moses comes on the scene. Y'all remember the story. Moses was the Egyptian. He was Egyptian by birth, but he was enslaved to Pharaoh and his people. So as a result of that, because they didn't know, Pharaoh had all the youth, the babies, killed. He had the midwives. He wanted them to take out all the babies because he was concerned that they were starting to become greater in number. Okay, so let me put that and paraphrase that maybe a little bit differently. In the very beginning, when this whole thing evolved, you can go back to Exodus 1, Moses, and that at that point in time, he was just a little baby boy. But you had Joseph who was on the scene, and at that point, he was exiting his power in Egypt, and then all of a sudden this guy named Pharaoh comes on the scene. And so here you have Pharaoh who is intimidated. He sees the number of Egyptians, and he's saying, man, wait a minute. There's way too many of them, and they're getting a little bit comfortable. And so the problem that Pharaoh had, fear was what was influencing him to make his decision to enslave the people of Israel because he was afraid of what could come about for his kingdom. Listen, God, at the end of the day, when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, the enemy is going to try to do everything that he can to propel fear and instill fear in and around you to distract you from your purpose. And so one of the things that I always say, that when you walk in faith, faith brings a test and a trial that you can overcome. Because if God permitted it, he'll give you a promise to get through it. If he gave you the promise, he'll give you a permission slip to get there as well. And so here you have Moses and people, they're being enslaved by Pharaoh, all because he was influenced by fear. And so when you're in a position of power and you feel that there's a threat, as we said, when you think about the effect that fear has on you, in a state of mind, it controls you. It takes over, it consumes, it releases negative chemicals into the body. So what are we fearing and what's influencing you? So I'm curious, you know, to know. You know, many a times I'll say that there are situations that I've been in, and, you know, life sometimes can get the best of you. There's sometimes where the fear of the unknown can take you out. You can be in a situation where it's about your health. You can be in a situation where you're tried with your finances. You can be in a situation where you're tried with just relationships, whether it's a loved one, whatever that it may be. And it's that fear of the unknown that you're unsure of that leads to your uncertainty. And so when it all said and done, what's influencing you? Are you going to live by fear? Are you going to live by faith? Or are you going to live by Facebook? And so if you're thinking about how does this pertain to relationships, well, as I said, everything that we were created for was for relationship. And so if fear is what's propelling you into the action that it's taking you into, you can look at that you're living your life based on fear of what if. God didn't give us a spirit of what if. What if this happens? What if that happens? We know that. So we can say, well, I've been single. Maybe you're a single female, and you've been saying, I've been single for a long time, and I'm just fearing I'll be alone by myself. Well, the enemy wants to try to, you know, distract you and take you off your course. He wants to take you off. God promised that to you, and he said, this is the promise that I have for you. Then stand strong and stand still and trust him at his word. And that's what we have to do. Now, is it easy to do? Absolutely not. It's not necessarily easy, but it's necessary. And so it's needed and required at the same time. And so if you are in a situation now where you're dealing with a relationship, whether you're married or whatever the case may be, maybe you're dealing with some challenges that you may have in your relationship. You cannot let fear. See, a lot of times when we get into an issue within a relationship, it's that fear of the unknown. Is he going to do this? Is she going to say this? What if she does this? Listen. At the end of the day, what's going to happen is what's going to happen. So I always say control what you can and let go of the things that you need to. You can control certain things, and some things you just got to let it go. And you have to be okay with that. You have to have a spirit of peace. That's what you want. That will overcome the fear that the enemy is trying to distract you by. You get that spirit of peace, man, you know, look, I always say at the end of the day, it's going to be what it's going to be. And when I was going through my challenges and struggles through life just a couple years back, what propelled me was living in the moment. I couldn't live for tomorrow because I was just trying to get through today. Now, that's real talk. Because I didn't know whether I was coming or going because my head felt like it was just spinning. I felt like a bobblehead, or I felt like a penny waiting on change. And at the end of the day, what God was trying to show me, he was trying to work something in me, out of me, and through me. And I said, man, wow. But if I had let fear propel my actions, I would have been in a straitjacket. I'd have been cuckoo for cocoa and sitting there saying, wow, you know, I would miss it. And so oftentimes God's trying to get something to you, but all you can see is what's in front of you. And so, you know, one of the things, I was at work. Yeah, I was at work, and I was due to get off at 5 o'clock. Well, it's 4:50, but I knew I was supposed to get off at 5 o'clock. See, I'm good when I know something's coming, but how do I act when I don't know when it's coming? So it's one thing when you can predict it, but are you going to walk by fear, faith, or Facebook when you can't predict it, when you can't see it, when you're not sure whether it's coming from the left or from the right? But if God said, this is my son, what I have for you, this is my daughter, the blessings that I have for you, hey, how are you going to carry it? Are you going to stand with your faith? Maybe you're a scholar. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're a person who's unsure of your faith. Maybe you're a person who's fallen off from your faith. Well, are you going to allow the influence of fear? We're in a culture right now where everything around us is perpetuating fear all around. We saw earlier this morning, you turn on your TV screen, you see what? Another police shooting of someone, this time killing the police officers, three innocent police officers. Listen, I have never been an advocate for violence, and I don't believe that you fight violence with violence. I believe that if you're going to mobilize, you have to create a strategy, and it has to be structured. And God ain't into the chaos, so we know that first and foremost. So he does everything in decency and order. What we have to really do is focus on the power of influence and how that affects our lives and what we do with it. And so at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, the one thing that I'm not going to do is I'm not going to let fear propel my walk. I'm going to let my faith lead my talk. So you can't talk right and walk left at the same time and say I'm a saint, I'm a Christian, or what, okay? It just don't line up. Now, you can say I'm a work in progress, absolutely. Sanctification is a process all the way to the end. But here's the thing, that if we live by the bread, that's the word, that's what we're going to stand on. So I'm just encouraging somebody out there who may be in listening land, who may be listening right now, is that whatever that's influencing you, you have to make a determination and be intentional about it. Am I going to let fear of this unknown situation or circumstance propel me and take me off course? Or am I going to let my faith? Okay, so we might say, well, what is faith? Faith is that thing that you can't see. So if it's in front of you, you can't see it. That's something that you can't see. Oftentimes when God gives you something, it's something much bigger than what you can do on your own. See, that's how you know that it's God. So God said, okay, all right, let me put this in relationship perspective. If God gave you a promise, my fiance would once say this, that she saw a picture that she knew she was going to be married. And at one point, God showed her a picture of the man from behind, but he did not reveal his face. So all she could do is who, now, that could have been years, many, many years ago before we met. So she could make a choice. Okay, I don't see him right now today, but maybe he's, I don't see him tomorrow. But am I going to let fear propel my walk, or am I going to let faith lead my talk? So that I know that God promises to me that it is on the way. So it is a promise that's already been revealed. Excuse me. And what God has revealed, he will bring you to in due season. So if we look at the story again, let's put this in perspective to Moses. Moses at the time had favor. Moses was chosen very early on. He was chosen very early on. As I just used the analogy with my fiance, she was chosen. And so the man that was chosen, it was a man chosen for her as well. And it was preordained that at a set time. So a lot of times we want the keys before we know how to drive a car. You can't oftentimes get your cake and eat it too. So you without going through something. And a lot of times we don't want to go through anything. Anytime you're going to get somewhere, there is a process to get to the destination. We already talked about that before. There is a process leading to the destination. So if my daughter is she's about to turn 16. At 16, that is the time you are eligible to really get your permit. You're eligible to drive in most states. But in order to get to that, you've got to go through the test. You've got to go through the written exam, and you've got to take not only the written test, you got to get behind it, take driver's ed and certain things. So you've got to go through the different stages in order to get there. Well, what am I saying? I'm saying to you, my brother, my sister, that there is a stage in your life that you're in right now, and where you are, that's only just a comma. Don't put a period where God puts his commas. I said that last week, and when I was talking, or actually I said it to a brother, a good friend of mine, I was reading 2 Corinthians 4:8, and oftentimes when we read that the wrong way. And so, you know, that's the scripture talks about. We're hard pressed on every side, but not in despair. And many times what we do is we read it as a run-on sentence, and we don't put the punctuation where it needs to be. And my question to you is this. If you're going to live by fear, you're on the left side. But if you're going to live by faith, you're on the right side. So what do you mean? Well, let's take a little journey on that one. I'm going to pull up that scripture real quick. Indulge me for a hot second. I want to show you the difference between fear and faith. And this is what we're going to stand on, so that we can differentiate what's the difference. All right, so here we have 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. So verse 7, and we'll go to verse 8. So it says, we are hard-pressed on every side. Then there's a comma there, yet not crushed. Then there's a semicolon there, we are perplexed. Then there's a comma, but not in despair. Then comes another semicolon, persecuted, comma, but not forsaken. Let me pause for a second there because some people I've already lost. So what I said to you is that you got to make a choice. If you're going to lead by fear, fear is on the left side. Faith is on the right side. If you want to be in faith, you got to be on the right side of God. That means you have a right standing relationship with God from the beginning. And it's never too late at any given point if you've fallen off to get a life vest and or a life preserver to bring you back up on the show. It is never too late. And so I would just want to encourage somebody. Maybe you've been in a situation where right now I don't know what tomorrow has in store. All I would say to you is just live for today. Live for today in the moment. I don't know where my husband is. All I would tell you is just stand on faith that if God said it, that he's going to deliver on it in due season. See, Moses had went through that journey, and so at the point he was supposed to be executed because all of the Egyptians at that point in time, as the youth were born, they were supposed to be killed. But God chose him till he found favor, and he was found. And in fact, his mother was the maiden, and she was by Pharaoh's sister to raise the Moses up. So he was raised in good people. He was well-educated and everything else. And so God had a purpose in his life and prepared a plan for him and prepared the way for him to get there. And so at the end of the day, the whole thing is you're no different than that because God is no respecter of person. And so we're walking in fear because we don't have the job that we want. We're walking in fear because we're not in a certain financial status that we want. We're walking in fear because we're not in a right standing relationship that we're in. We're walking in fear because of all the things that we saw on TV. But I said, well, then if that's the case, where does faith come in? So my question to you all who may be listening tonight by podcast or listening live or listening online, where does faith fit into your life? If you spend more time on Facebook pulling up posts than you spend in your Bible, then I don't have a heaven and hell to throw you in. But the question is, where does faith fit in, fall into your life? If God has to be second to everything else, then can you really say I love him? Can you really say that I love him and I have a heart for God to do the things that are pleasing to God? If, in fact, that all that you see is that every time that you turn around, you're either leading by fear or you're walking by Facebook. You know, so I just ask that you pause for the cause and think about that for a hot second there for just a point of reflection. Again, I don't have a heaven and hell to put you in. I would just ask you that very same question to ask yourself. Look at the man in the mirror. Look at the woman in the mirror and ask yourself a question. What's leading my life? What's influencing my life? Is it fear? Is it by all the things that I'm seeing on TV, are we in the last days? Or am I standing on faith, faith being the word of God? I'm going to live and breathe by it. I'm going to stand on it. And, yeah, I may fall and fall short because I'm human, absolutely, and so may you. But at the end of the day, I'm going to go back to the rock. I'm going to go back to that place that gets me back in alignment. And the only way that we can kind of stay in alignment is that we have accountability. That's important for us as believers to have a level of accountability in your life, too. So, you know, I would say to you, if you're out there, and at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, you need a big brother or a big sister, someone, or if you're married, you need someone who can be a big brother and sister to you that who have already been down the road, they've already fought the fight, and that you can witness from them and see their witness in action. And that will help you, give you strength and fall from it. Listen, the enemy has already created enough fear and pandemonium throughout the country, and he's already ravaged marriages and families. And all we're trying to do on this show is that we're trying to help families become better, not bitter, and so that we can move forward united, not divided, and that we can conquer the things that we're truly supposed to conquer and focus on it. You know, one of the things that I always say to my fiance is that we make the statement, same team, same jersey, or team rich. And I think that's important because we have a number of things that come up. But everything that comes up isn't necessarily a crisis. So what you have to do is learn how to put things in perspective. And so what am I saying? One of the prayers that I had at the beginning of the year, and I told her, I said, God, you know, I really hope, give me a fresh purview. Help me see things differently. Help me see things not with my natural lens, but with the spiritual lens so that I can better understand it with a level of discernment that I need. More importantly, a level of wisdom to show me how to do things the way that you would want me to do it. And so that's a process, though. It takes time. Well, what's next? Well, everybody goes through a different phase. Everybody's steps are different because the steps of the Lord, you know, of a man are ordered by the Lord. And so your step may be different than her step. Her step may be different than your step. So what I'm saying to you is this, stop comparing. The worst thing that you can do is compare. Because comparing, all that comparing does, it either shows, it shows your shortcoming, it shows your lack of faith. In many instances, now it's one thing. Let's say you got a, you know, you're single, and one of your girlfriends gets married, or you know, one of your brothers or sisters gets married, and you are the oldest, and you're saying, man, wow, you know, hey, I'm still single. God, why not me? You're asking the question of why not, you know, and so maybe God is trying to do something, you know, still through you and in you, and so why not you would be the question, because if He permitted it, that He's already given you a permission slip for it. So I'd say to yourself, don't be so hard on yourself. Give yourself a permission slip to say, it's okay, that the best is still yet to come. See, here's the thing that I learned. A good friend of mine, Dr. Johnny Parker, who's an author, a coach, and who would talk about, you know, turning the page. What we have to do is learn how to turn the page. And so each day that you wake up, it's a fresh page. There's nothing on it. It's a fresh page. Wake up every day with anticipation of walking into your purpose, walking into your calling, walking into the things that delight you. And if you're not doing that right now, it's okay as long as you start right here, right now. Start right here, right now, saying, God, I'm not walking by fear. I'm going to walk by faith. I'm going to believe your word. I know that in Psalms 23, you've already declared the prayer for me. You know, you've already moved in my life. And I would just say that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That means I don't lack anything. There's no lack in the house. There's no lack in God's kingdom. And we already know that. So if you want to be in a relationship, you have to position yourself to be in a relationship. Well, what does that mean? You got to get yourself right. At the beginning, I said it begins with you and ends with you. And if you don't change, neither will your circumstances. So oftentimes what is happening is that you're leading, your fear is projecting something. The fear in you is putting out a pulse. And people can see that. And that's kind of a deterrent. It's a repellent. It pushes people away or brings people to you. That's an oxymoron. All right, so what I mean by this, the right person is not ready for you, and you're not ready for the right person. So what happens is you get all the decoys in the meantime. You get the test. And so the tester sends the test. And now until you get to the place where you are ready for the right person to come along, because if you can get something at the wrong time, it could be the right thing at the wrong time, and that could be a bad thing. That's crazy. It could be the right thing, meaning that this is the right person that I'm meant for, whatever the case may be, but it could be the wrong season, and you wouldn't know how to deal with it. See, oftentimes when things come into your life, time harvests, seed time and harvest, that it comes. If you get something too soon, let's say Moses got the power early on. He was called, he was chosen. Let's say David from the time that Jesse's son, he was the eighth son. If he had became the king early on, he wouldn't have known how to handle it. So God had to take him on a journey. And right now what you got to learn how to do, you got to learn how to enjoy the journey through your season. Each day, you're turning the page, new chapter. I write what I want on this page. God, order my steps. Give me the discernment. Give me the wisdom so that I can declare that I'm already declaring and declaring the power of the breakthrough in my life, and that I have what I say that I have, and all that he says I can be, I can be. And I speak those things. So, you know, affirm yourself. Learn how to affirm yourself. With that said, here we are. Let's take a break right now. If you're out there, 619-924-0869. I want to hear from you. Again, it's 619-924-0869. Just press one on your phone. Share your comments, your questions right now. Or if you're out there on the Facebook group, let me see what you got to say. Post your comments, your questions, or your responses in the Real Talk with Chris Richardson group page, and I'll see you there, okay? So having said that, what we have to do is we got to really focus on this whole thing is this Facebook thing. I think that, you know, last week I was disturbed by what I saw. I saw a lot of things, and yet it's called Facebook Live. Well, there's some things that I really don't want to see, and there's certain things that are so sensitive that I wouldn't want my children to see, but we live in a culture now that everything is real. And so I remember when reality show first hit reality, and people pushed back. The culture wasn't ready for it. The climate wasn't right. But look now, what we asked for, we have. And it came Federal Express, you know, it came overnight. Before you blink an eye, look at what we have in our TV room. So you turn on the TV now, you got more porn to contend with. You open up Facebook, you got more pornography and everything else that you have to contend with. You've got heinous acts of violence, so much that's there. It's hard because your brain can't process all the things without almost going into a state of fear because you see so many things in your eye gate and hear so many things with your ear that's constantly saturating yourself. So I always say, you got to really be careful with what you take in. And you've got to be wise to not overdo it with what you're seeing and what you're hearing. How many times you need to watch CNN? How many times do you have to listen to MSNBC? Or watch the same news over and over again? If you heard it, it ain't going to change much. They may have new information, but let me ask you this. How is that helping you live your goals, dreams, and your vision? How is that helping you be all that you can be at the end of the day? It may give you information, but what the enemy tries to do is take what you already like. So he already knows it's a certain radio station that you like, it's a certain sound or a certain TV show that you like, and all he's going to do is he's going to plant that one little seed because you like to listen to it. And so, you know, for me, I don't listen to the news. I don't listen to the news. I try to be mindful of what I take in on Facebook. Because everything that look good ain't good for you, as we know. And what's good for the goose ain't always good for the gander, you know, at the end of the day. So I would just challenge you to think about, you know, when you're thinking about the power of influence, think about the choices that you're making, that the things that are influencing your life. So, it, you know, these are things that affect your decision-making ability. And, you know, with fear, it's one of those things that makes you susceptible to a lot of different things that you open up. And what happens is we already know that 80% of behavior is controlled by the unconscious brain. The unconscious doesn't know the difference between the conscious. So here we have it that we've got a lot of things going on, and we don't even realize it. So you know, I'm excited. I think we got a caller that's calling in shortly, and we're going to bring her in. A good friend, haven't had her on in quite a while. So we're just waiting on for her to dial in. But if you've got a comment or question you want to share, hey, feel free to tune in. If not, we're going to take it away in just a second, and we'll be right back in just a minute.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing, bro?
Good.
Yeah, she playing?
Yeah, man. You better hurry up in there, man. She's about to go on stage right now.
Another harmony, like,
loving you ain't nothing helping. Oh, yeah, okay. Ready? All right. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to A Love Story, and this is Emotional Roller Coaster.
Last night I cried, tossed and turned, woke up with dry eyes. My mind was racing, feet were pacing. Lord help me, please tell me what I have gotten into. Ran my 3 miles to clear my mind. It always helps me out. It's my therapy when I'm losing it, which is usually, hey. Emotional roller coaster, loving you ain't nothing healthy. Loving you was never good for me.
All right. Well, welcome back to the Real Talk with Chris Richardson Show, and I am back, and I'm joined by a good friend and a fellow colleague who I haven't seen or talked to in quite some time, Toy Parker. Toy, are you there?
Yes. Mic check. 1, 2, 1, 2.
Hey, you're loud and crystal clear. It's good to have you back on. Toy, we've been talking about what's influencing you. The subject matter, is it fear, is it faith, or is it Facebook? We got a caller who was just out there who wanted to post a question. So, caller, if you're back out there, just press 1 on the phone, and we'll see you in just a second, and I'll dial you back in. Again, the number to dial in is 619-924-0869. Just press 1 on your phone, and we'll dial you in. Hey, Toy, as I said, we've been talking about fear, faith, and Facebook, and I've said a number of different things about this whole fear piece and how fear affects you mentally and emotionally, and it does something to stimulate the chemical release in your body that's unhealthy. And then we talked about this faith thing. If we're going to walk by faith, we can't. I broke this comparison down with 2 Corinthians 4:18 that we're hard pressed, but you know, not in despair. And so I said, fear it leads on the left side, faith walks on the right side. So you can't walk right and talk left. So if you're going to stand on the Word of God, you got to live and be in the Word of God. And so, yet we do fall, but we get back up. So I'm trying to really encourage the listeners tonight that, you know, we've seen a lot of different things that have happened in our culture here. And everything has been happening since Columbine. Everything's happening since we asked for reality TV. And now we've got more reality than what we can deal with in our living room. And so, you know, and then what we see on Facebook isn't necessarily helping. It's almost a breeding ground for fear. And some of it, it's good. It connects friends. But we've got so many different things going on. It's hard for the brain and the mind to decipher and discern good from evil.
So true. Well, another thing I'd like to add to that is the fact that, you know, the Bible also states that we power love in a sound mind, and the more we actually marry that, we would have less people with insecurities that take over. Because a lot of times what happens is in the real life, you might actually begin to trust a person, but then you look at their Facebook and you see women clicking on their pictures, or you see the conversations in the comments, and you forget that Facebook is surface. That's why it's called Facebook. It's the surface. It is not the real level of anything to be able to determine anything by. It is surface, just that. It's Facebook. That's why it's called Facebook. It's the surface. It is not any deeper than that. And same with Instagram. It's instant. You're instantly able to post into two things. So a lot of times perception becomes reality, and that's that whole false evidence appearing real. When people take the things that they see on social media and take it at, instead of taking it at face value, they take it to deeper levels. But that's because of insecurities and because they're not really standing on their own truth of what they know about that person, they're dealing with the perception based on what they see on social media, which is not the reality. And that's the thing that people have to remember. Social media is only a partial reality. You're only seeing a part of that person's life. You're not seeing the whole picture at all. So we have to learn how to find a way to have a happy balance between the false reality or perception of social media and the actual reality that you're living in. But if you stand on the Word of God, nothing will, you know, it won't affect you, because you'll have that reality of the truth of God's Word, and the truth is what sets you free. And fear is what it torments. You know, the Bible also talks about how love casts out fear. So if you really are truly talking about loving a person, then that's loving with the love of God, because God is love. So you can either try to love with your own kind of love, which will not work because there will be flaws, because you're not a perfect person. But if you love with the love of God, that casts out fear, because fear has torment. So, you know, I just wanted to kind of add those things to that.
Yeah, absolutely, no doubt. And that's the thing, you know, as I was saying earlier, to kind of share on that thesis, that where we are right now, you know, every mm-hmm. time we turn, it seems as though, and this is a mm-hmm. post that I posted a while back, I said one of the things, we may see that we are helpless, but we are never
right.
hopeless. There may be things
no.
that we have seen with our eye, but we can't fall
right.
for the okey-doke. We've got now
right.
the time not to cower. Now is the time
no.
to, say, and so
to stand boldly,
you know,
as we ought to speak.
That's right. Whether you're looking, you know, whether it's your money, whether it's your finances, whether it's your home,
yeah.
whatever that it may be that you're seeking and searching for, whatever God promised you, you just kind of got to stand. I know yesterday our pastor was kind of delivering the message, and one of the examples that he used, and I'm going to take a sound bite from his message, he was talking about he was on a trip, and he happened to go to where the statue, a person who looked just like a statue, and who didn't move, didn't say anything. People were talking, trying to jump at it, and it didn't move. And he said, I bet you if I reach down and take your money, and the statue still didn't move. The person didn't.
Mm.
And so, well, what's the point in that? You got to be so focused and faithful and focused on God that in spite of the storm around you, all you can do is stand still on the promise.
That's right. And just on top of that, you have to believe, because you know, in his word, he says that you are to plead together. If you plead together with him, that's when the victory comes, because you remind him of his word. So actually, the more, you know, and of course the word, it is what it is. It stands on its own, but it also is your defense. You know, that's why Jesus is like your lawyer. He stands in the gap for you. So if you know the word for yourself, if you know in Deuteronomy 1:11 it says that you have the power to get wealth, then understand the fact that you will have it, and that it is yours, and that it's already there. You have to walk in that, as opposed to looking at your bank account and being afraid and saying and declaring things that you should not declare, because you should never say that you're broke. You should always say that more money is coming. But see, that has to be a bold declaration of faith that comes from walking out the faith that you're saying that you have, which is a big difference. We can say we have faith all day, but are we really exercising that faith? And see, that's a way to exercise that faith. And some people say, well, Toy, it's easier said than done when you're looking at no money. No, it's the same, because whether or not there's $100 in the bank or $0 or $1 million, the facts remain that you're believing. Faith now is a present tense operation. Faith now is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So it matters not the amount. What matters is that you have above a mustard seed of faith. And that's all that it takes to change that destiny, because the more you speak, the more, well, your belief system determines your thought process, right? And your thought
mm-hmm,
process is going to
mm-hmm.
determine how you speak. And what you speak, that's what you bring into existence and into manifestation. And so the Bible says that out of the fruit of your mouth, you know, you are condemned by that. Either you're justified or condemned. It also, you know, says that there's life and death in the power of the tongue, but also, in addition to that, you are satisfied by the fruit of your mouth. Those are all scriptures. They all coincide, and they all are true. So when you are that belief system, there has to be a shift in your belief system that no matter what is in front of you, whether it's your bank account, whether it's a spouse or a situation, whatever, just like you said, whatever it is, the only way that there will be change if you become the change agent. A lot of us are praying to God, oh, God, please change. God is waiting on you. He is waiting on you to exercise your faith, because faith without works is dead, and he would not say that if it was not meant for us to do something. We have to be an active participant in the faith that we believe. Didn't mean to jump on that tangent, but I just had to kind of get that out.
Well, now, that was good, because I was talking about Moses earlier, as I told the story, because we look at why the people of the children of Israel, they were enslaved. They didn't start that way. So they were free,
right.
They were free people at first, but they became enslaved mm-hmm. because of the fear of Pharaoh. Pharaoh feared mm-hmm. what they had, but then they had a man mm-hmm. named Moses, the baby, who was an infant at the time, and he was called and chosen from the very beginning of time. And what I said to the people is that this, that in the time right now, and this time, this culture, much like before, when we look at comparison of culture, there was a lot going on at that particular time, and God raised Moses up. And so many may mm-hmm. say, we've been saying, and today you'll hear, well, where's Dr. King, and where are the civil rights leaders and all this? It's look in the mirror. You are them. You are
right.
them. And that's what I'm saying, and want to empower the people. You become what you want. If you want it to be this, you speak this thing and you become that power. Where did it start? Well, it begins with you and ends with you. So if you don't change, neither
mm-hmm.
will your circumstances. So be the
mm-hmm.
power of one. Change and be the influence of one by your faith, and by your
mm-hmm.
faith that others can see the salt and see the witness that you show forth, and that they'll follow that. And that's how change begins. Change begins with one changing one relationship at a time. That's simple.
That's
it.
Right.
You cannot save the world. But here, look at what Moses was called to do. Moses was operating within his calling, but he had some issues too, because again, he
mm-hmm.
is a man of faith, but also
yeah.
a man born of flesh.
Yes,
and
we
so
have
with
to understand.
Just remember,
oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go
absolutely.
Ahead.
No, I was probably going to go down the same road you're going. We just have to understand that in our human nature, it is our nature with our emotions that God wired us with. But remember, the greatest emotion that we have is that emotion of love. So when you're dealing
That's
with
so
a troubling situation, when you got a compromise that's right here before you, and you don't know whether you're going left or right, remember, just go to the right, because left is
yeah.
fear and right is God. And so
that is,
and it's that, usually that small voice, Toy, it's that small.
Mm-hmm,
what
mm-hmm.
that scripture says? Thousands shall fall at my one side, but 10,000 shall fall at my right side, and shall not, will not come nigh my dwelling. Okay?
Yes, that was,
you
that's
know.
Psalm 91 all day. That's Psalm 91 all day.
All day.
And it's true.
You know.
And then on top of that, a lot of times, we get what we focus on. And what I mean by that is, when these situations do arise, these challenges do arise, instead of talking to everybody about challenge, talk about the solution. Speak that into your
mm-hmm.
life. Change the conversation. Because a lot of times, if we just shift our conversation instead of giving attention to the problem, you are giving the devil place. Because that's what he wants. He doesn't have a tongue. So he'll let you use your tongue against you with your own insecurities
mm-hmm.
and all the other things that go along with it, because he has no power. So what you have to do is make sure that you're not a willing vessel of the devil, indirectly and unintentionally. What I mean by that,
mm-hmm.
boy, what do you mean? Here's what I mean. Most people will call 5 or 6 friends and tell the same sad story 5 or 6 times, giving power and life to that situation, which by the law of attraction will attract more of that same drama to your life, as opposed to saying, okay, you can still share, that's what happened, but here's the solution, here's what I'm doing to, you know, to make it better, here's what I am believing God for, you know, as opposed to focusing on the problem. You're focused, you get what you focus on, focus on the solution, and that's the part of the now faith, because, you know, if you remember in his word, he says that you are to meditate on things that are pure, that are lovely, that are a good report. Those are the things that you're supposed to meditate on. Psalm 1, blessed is the man that stands not at the counsel of the ungodly, but, you know, and all of that whole Psalm
mm-hmm.
1. And within that, the prosperity comes because not only are you seeking wise counsel, and not only are your hands blessed, but it's because of the conversation that you're having and what you're doing at the time that you're doing it is reaping and sowing. You're sowing seed for future harvest by doing that. But that's what the operation of faith does. You're believing before the transaction. It's like going to the bank. You're putting money in your bank before the money is there. You're sowing the seeds before the harvest. You're investing in a portfolio because you know it's going to yield the investment. So invest in yourself, and also instead of focusing on other people's problems, because a lot of people, and I know I'm stepping on toes, stop talking about other people's problems. Deal with your own solutions. Stop focusing on everybody else. The best way to manage your life is to manage your time and to manage yourself.
You know what? That's so on point that you said that. And I was saying sometimes, oftentimes we start looking at others, we can't see what's going on with us. And it's usually, you know, that it's easy to talk about the dog next door when the one in your house is the one pooping on everybody's porch.
Hello.
Okay?
Hello.
Come on now. It's real easy to focus on what they're not doing. For us to become too sanctified. But what we have to do is just remember, at the end of the day,
mm-hmm.
we don't have a heaven or a hell to put anybody in. And all
That's
we can
right.
do is try to be the best disciple that we are called to be. And we don't walk by fear. We don't walk by Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
We walk by faith.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what the mm-hmm. mandate of what we're called to do. And so every now and again, you may get it twisted. You may not be on track. But as long
That's
as
right.
you can remember this, that God will, just ask and he will forgive, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But what you got to do is forget. What do you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, oftentimes what the enemy will try to do is bring up your past. And all
That's
he
right.
can do is throw that in your face. And so because he
mm-hmm.
what he's trying to do is use the seed of doubt, fear, discouragement, and guilt to shame you. And
mm-hmm.
if he can do that, he knows he'll take you back to a place that that God brought you through.
Right.
So what I'm trying to say, if you want to stay out of your past, stop opening the door to it.
That's right.
Well, what do you mean?
That's right.
Well, if this is the same kind of pattern that you have with, let's talk about relationships now. If this is the same kind
mm-hmm.
of pattern that you have with this kind of brother right here, then why do you keep opening your door to him? Don't roll out the red carpet when he ain't willing to open up the welcome sign. Okay?
That's right.
Come on now.
That's right.
Stop looking
it's
for him when he ain't sent out a welcome committee looking for you.
That's right.
You know.
That's right. And then a lot of times we, you know, in the name of, oh, I want to give this person another chance, sometimes God gives you the wisdom. He shows you the signs. And people still, you can have a door that has fire coming straight out the door. But instead of looking at the fire and saying, oh, that's a fire, let me not go in there. Oh, you know what? I think I can make it through that fire if he just changes one thing, or if she just changes one thing, or I think I can help them change. That's not your job. Change comes from the inside out. Once we accept that fact, then we're more willing to see things as they are and say, you know what? That is really a sign. Let me pay attention to that. There's a reason why God is removing this person from my life. I need to trust God's decision, because man's rejection is God's protection. And God, and people, male and female, need to understand that there is a reason for everything. It's all part of God's providence.
I like the change part. If we go back to utilizing the change with the whole thing of Moses, the challenge with Moses that he was a man of faith initially, that he was
mm-hmm.
chosen to do an assignment, but the problem was he was unwilling to change. His flesh got
right.
in the way.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let your flesh lead you to a problem that you can't that doesn't take you to eternity. So we have to be willing to have relationship with others, and the reflection.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, at the end of the day, it's like this: it's the way you feel about yourself is direct reflection of how you treat others, and the way you treat others is a direct reflection of how you feel about yourself.
That's right.
You know, so when you
That's
look
right.
at the mirror, focus on, as Toy said, not what you see from your neighbor. Focus on what you're doing so that you can stay in your lane. It's hard to see, and I know a lot of people, Toy, who always, you know, they want to predict the future. But God,
mm-hmm.
but that's God's job. God's
that's
job
right.
is he handles the future. It's already written out in the script. All
mm-hmm.
our assignment is to have enough faith to walk in it.
Mm-hmm. True.
So
True.
What's influencing you? Is it going to be fear? Will it be faith,
mm-hmm.
or is it going to be that
mm-hmm.
Facebook?
That's the question.
There it is. Toy, I had
mm-hmm.
asked that question earlier, you know, to do take a moment of self-reflection. And as you think about If you're one who tends to, you know, post a lot on social media, or you're constantly, I know at times, a lot of times they say connect with your social media audience at least 5 to 8 times a day. Put out a post 5 to 8 times a day. If just imagine if people would open up their Bibles and read a chapter or read a verse 5 to 8 times a day and recite that and truly become disciples of the impact and the influence that the Bible would have. That because it's already it's the number one bestseller ever since its inception, and it still is today. So just imagine how much influence that you would get from the Bible, because everything that we're facing in life, there's nothing new under the sun, but
there is
a word of how we can deal with it. And oftentimes God will give you what's called a rhema word. When you just open up the app and give you an application that'll apply so fresh for your life.
It's so true. And the more that we marry that, and on top of that, some of us, you know, there's a difference between posting positive messages no matter what's happening in your life, and that's good, that's great. But also with these posts, we need to walk out that in our lives and make sure we are actually exemplifying that, what we should say we believe, you know. So we have to make sure we're mirroring that when we deal with people. So, in other words, you know, you can have positive posts galore. That's great. Social media, that's beautiful. But what are you doing with the person that's in front of you when you lose your patience? What are you doing with your spouse when you lose your patience? When God says we have all patience, right? So those are things that we can work on as individuals. Every one of us, I say myself included. I mean, I think about that sometimes. And we have to be more cognizant because, you know, we have to be at a point where we're literally every moment we're thinking in the image we were created in. We were created in his image, so that means in his likeness, that's his thoughts. Even though his thoughts are higher than our thoughts and his ways are higher than our ways, but he still set the example by which we are to follow.
I can just say, let the church say amen, you know, on that note. But we open it up right now. If you want to post a comment or a question or share one with myself or with my sister Toy, right now is the time to do so at 619-924-0869. Let us know what your thoughts or questions are about the show. If you've got a comment that you would like to share, if the show's been informative, if you've heard something a little bit different or it's given you a new perspective. And that's one of the things Toy I talked about earlier as well. I mentioned, you know, in the very beginning of the year, I said, God, give me a fresh purview and help me see with my perspective from a different lens. Let me be other-minded as well throughout the year, not just focused on self. Let me, you know, when we're going through so much right now in today's day, let me have a heart like your heart to think about other people before I always pray for myself. See, it's easy to get on your knees and say, God, give me a man, give me a woman, I need this. But it takes a little bit more of a sacrifice to pray for your neighbor to your left or to your right. Like Tony said, yet alone, just speak to them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Acting, living it out so that you don't act it out. And we've seen enough now. It's time to come together and unite. It's time to be one. It's time to bring our communities together. And as I said, it begins with you. So when you look in the mirror, are you being used at your highest and best? What's influencing you? What is influencing your behavior? Is it always fear? Are you always thinking in a state of pandemonium? Are you always in a state of denial? Are you always in a state of anxiety? We're not given a spirit of fear, but a sound mind, you know, as Toy said earlier. And so we just think about that. And you think about our faith. When you look at faith, how does faith influence your behavior? Have you changed, or are you still the same individual that you were 5 years ago? Here's the thing, truth be told, if you're still drinking milk, it's time for something to transition. It's time for a transition, because at some point, we should be going towards some level of a heavier substance, that you should be ready for some meat, or you should be ready for a full-course meal. And if you're going to get into the engrafted word of God and you're going to go deeper in God and you want to get things of God, if you want to receive the promise to get to the destination, then what you have to do is you have to be willing to get in the car and you have to be willing to turn on that GPS and you have to be willing to follow the instructions that it gives you. Hey, Toy, I remember a time where GPS wasn't what it used to be or wasn't what it is today. Now we got this thing called Waze that gives you all the information and everything else. It tells you all the potholes. It tells you where the police are and all that. Listen, let me be clear. Waze is a system created by man. God is the way, the truth, and the light, but faith is the system that he created. You're not going to see everything. You ain't going to know where everything is. You're not going to know when your husband's coming, when your wife, or what's going to happen tomorrow. But by faith, we can stand. But by faith, there is hope, because faith is a substance of things hoped for. That means faith is, I always say faith is for today, with hope is for tomorrow. I got to have a little bit of both. Faith and hope are different, but they connect it. They give me just such a, they give me a peace. That knowing if I operate in faith, that, that moves God. I'm going to see a move of God eventually in due season in my life. Now, when? You know, that's the part I don't have the answer to. I don't. But I'm willing to have enough hope to know, well, if it rained today, then I know at some point I know I'm going to trust God just like I know the sun's going to come up tomorrow. That's how much I'm going to trust him, because I know the sun's going to come up. And I know if he said it, he's going to do it. Now, I don't know when I'm going to do it, because I'm not the controller of time. God, only God is. But I know that he said it, he's going to do it, and I'm going to have to take him at his word for it and just stand on faith. So after you've done all you can, be like the mannequin. Just stand.
That's right.
Toy, let's bounce on out of here. We'll open
all
it
right.
up for your closing comments and thoughts, and then we're going to shut it down.
All right. Well, the best advice that I can give to everyone, first of all, thank you all for listening and being open to receive from us, because in this day and age, so many are not, so we appreciate you, each and every one of you who are listening live and those who are listening later on. We want to go ahead and say in advance in the future to you, thank you. In terms of my parting words, I tell you, you can choose to ignite your life from the inside out, and only you can choose to do that. No one else can do it for you. The best way to manage your life is to manage your time and do it through the Word of God, and that will multiply exponential success. Also, trust God, love people, pray always, and expect victory.
There you have it, and that concludes another episode of The Real Talk with Chris Richardson with my guest co-host, Toy Parker. It's always a treat and a pleasure, and I will be in touch. We'll talk soon. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in, and enjoy the rest of your evening. Good night, and God bless.
All right. Good night.